All right, so we're smack in the middle of this Close Encounters of the Jesus Kind series, a series where we look at four people from all different backgrounds, all different walks of life, and they have a close encounter with Jesus. And we have the privilege of seeing what happened to this time in their lives when they had this close encounter with Jesus. First one we looked at, remember the woman at the well? She was an outcast among outcasts, right? She was hiding in sin. She was looking for a way to avoid any interactions with the people in town. She has a close encounter with Jesus. Her life has changed. She is free from shame. She is free from guilt. She is free from hiding. And her life is changed forever. Zacchaeus, remember the wee little man? All right, the rich guy. Not always honest, the tax collector. A Jew who is working against his own people for the Roman government. Not so honest, but filthy rich. Has an encounter with Jesus. His life is changed forever. All of a sudden, the greed is gone. All of a sudden, the lack of honesty is gone. And he enters into a forever relationship with Jesus. This week, a new person. We don't have a whole lot of background about her. Zacchaeus and the woman of the well, we kind of saw a little bit of information about her before she met Jesus. This is all we got on this woman's background, found in Luke 8, 1 through 3. Soon afterward, Jesus began a tour, which sounds very cool. You can picture the Rock t-shirts on that, of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business partner, Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. So the woman that we're talking about today is not Zacchaeus, is Mary Magdalene, all right? Mary. I bet you've heard her name before. She is very popular. A lot of dramatized stories and plays. I'm sure there's an ice show about her, musicals, right? You remember The Da Vinci Code? Oh, yeah. Okay, this best-selling book. And remember the movie with bad hair? Tom Hanks with bad hair, right? All right. People went crazy about this piece of fiction, thinking that it unfolded secrets to Mary Magdalene and her secret love affair with Jesus. And they had a baby, and that's really what the Holy Grail is. So if Indiana Jones was looking for the Holy Grail, they're really looking for a baby, okay? This was all about Mary Magdalene and her love affair with Jesus. And then other things came. There are like books about Mary, and there's more books about Mary, and there's more books about Mary, and there's more books about Mary, and more books about Mary. And there's even a tour. If you're in France, you can go on the Mary Magdalene tour, mystery tour. She is so popular. Now, I don't know what people in heaven see. You know, I don't know if they can see what's going on here on earth, but I gotta think, if Mary is aware of all the publicity she has gotten from us, you know, this contemporary times, she's gotta be mortified by it. You know, and she's probably razzed by the people in heaven. Oh, Mary, you won't believe what they came up with next. And Mary, Angelina Jolie is playing you in this upcoming movie clip of you. She has to be, honestly, she's gotta be mortified with what the world has come up with about this woman that we don't know a whole lot of background to. So let's look at her. Mary, before she met Jesus, again, I'm going to impress you with my Bible scholarliness. She's a woman, all right? We know this about her. She's a woman, all right? Now I'm going to impress you even more with my study of the Greek and Hebrew languages. Her name is Mary, all right? Now, Mary's an extremely common name back now, then. It's kind of like when I went to school, Christina. Everyone was named Christina or some form of it. But Mary came from the Hebrew name Miriam, and it was so popular. I mean, the Bible, the Gospels talk about like 5 different Marys, and some people confuse Mary Magdalene with the other Marys. Not so much Mary, the mother of God, but sometimes they confuse it with Mary of Clopas, or they confuse it with Mary, Lazarus' sister. There's a lot of Marys in the Bible. For instance, there were 3 at the resurrection tomb, 3 Marys. That's a lot of Marys, right? Okay. She is from the town of Magdala. That's how she got her name. That's what they used to do back in Bible times. They kind of say your first name and then make a name from the town that you were from. If I was back in Bible times, I'd be Carrie Buffalonian. Which, for a big bone girl, I would relocate, okay? Because not a name I want to, you know, carry the Buffalo Ian. Yeah. So that's what we know about her so far. We also know this little tidbit from her. She is under the bondage of 7 demons. We learn this from this. Along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. Now, you and I, when we look at this list, there's one in particular that kind of stands out to us, right? I hope it's all the same one, right? She is under the bondage of 7 demons. 7. Can you even imagine? I mean, this isn't sci-fi either. This is real stuff, and it occurs even today, all right? If you can believe in God, you can believe that there's a power against God. That's just how it is. And one demon is plenty scary, but 7 demons? I mean, think of the chaos and the destruction of her life. 1 demon, 7 demons, a big, scary difference. When I do my calculations, if she has 7 demons, that's 7 times more demons than a person with 1 demon. My source is the calculator, all right? 7 demons. Think about the difference between 1 broken bone and 7 broken bones. Think of the difference between 1 organ infested with cancer and 7 organs infested with cancer. All bad. But 7 organs infested with cancer is much worse. Think about owing 1 loan shark and owing 7 loan sharks. Think about 1 ex-wife or husband and 7 ex-wives or husbands, right? It's a big difference. And Mary Magdalene, she is living in torment. She has 7 demons controlling her, fighting inside her, making her, desiring for her to do evil things or actions or impure thoughts. She is a slave to this. Now, Scripture doesn't go into any details that tells us what life was like for her, but we can look back in other portions of Scripture to see other people who were possessed by a demon or two, what their life was like. So let's look, because it'll give us an idea. When Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake, the region of Gerasenes. I'll give you a hint. Whenever you don't know how to say a Bible word, just say it fast. Everyone thinks it's right, okay? So here we go, in the region of Gerasenes. 2 men were possessed by demons met there. They lived in a cemetery and were so violent that no one could go through that area. Okay, these guys have some demons. They're living in a cemetery. You know, that's uncomfortable. That's not plush by any means. And people won't go near the cemetery because they're so violent. Not just average violent. I don't know if there's such a thing. But they are so violent. That's what the demons are doing to them. Another thing is, from Matthew 9, when they left, a demon-possessed man who couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. So Jesus cast out the demon, and then the man began to speak. This guy can't speak because the demons possessed him. That stinks. Another one, a Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." Torments her severely. That's just a taste of some of the possessions that we have an account for. So we don't know what these 7 individualized demons were doing to Mary. I don't know if they were making her not speak. I don't know if she was in torment. I don't know if they were making her do evil or violent or impure acts. We don't know. We just know that they were controlling her. And we know that it was probably awful. Not probably. It was awful. I mean, we've all had sins that control us. We've all had something, whether it was Satan doing his work in us, the lure of a seductive world, or ourselves. We struggle with either being controlled by the Spirit of God or being controlled or slaves to sin. We all experience it. Look here in this Romans verse. Don't you realize that you become a slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. And just like I tend to order the same meal at every restaurant I go to, we all have common sins that we seem to repeat. We do. We run towards worry or insecurity or inferiority or lust or greed or jealousy or shame or pride or drugs or alcohol abuse or eating disorders, pornography. The list can go on. And we tend to become a slave to the same sin over and over and over again. It's no 7 demons, but bondage to sin is bondage to sin no matter what level it is. You're a slave to it. And every bit of that sin needs to be freed. Every bit of it. So Mary Magdalene has a close encounter with Jesus, and he frees her. He frees her from these 7 demons. And then she can become the woman of God that God purposed her to be. Because we learn in Romans 6:6, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives, and we are no longer slaves to sin. She's no longer a slave to these demons. They no longer have a power or control over her. And we don't know. I wish this would be in the text, but I'm going to ask this when we get to heaven. Like, how did it happen? You know, where was Mary? And when Jesus came in, what did he say that cast out these seven demons? And how did they react to being casted out of her? We don't have that. We don't know what happened. All we know is this: Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. That's the background of what we know about her. So what was life before Jesus? A woman, Mary, she is from the town of Magdala, and she is under the bondage by seven demons. What was life like after Mary had a close encounter of the Jesus kind? She's still a woman, all right? That did not change. She's still named Mary. That did not change. She's from the same town, but what did change is she now devotes the rest of her life to following Jesus. That's a big change, right? The rest of the times that we hear about Mary Magdalene in Scripture, she is following Jesus, literally following Jesus. Her whole life is completely changed. I mean, some of you guys can relate to this, right? Whether you've been following Jesus for 20 years, or you've been following Jesus for 2 weeks, or just kind of happened over the summer, hasn't your life changed since you became interested in Jesus? It has, right? Are you shocked every time you come to church on a Sunday when you could be at home watching TV or reading the paper, or if it's a nice sunny day and you say, we don't have so many days in Chicago, I can't be inside for this day? Are you shocked that you come to church? That's a change that's happening in you. Are you shocked when you tell someone, I'll pray for you, and you mean it? And you're like, oh, did that come out of my mouth? It did. And you're like, I'm changing. Something's changing in me. Or when you feel bad when you do something where before you're kind of like, it doesn't matter, that's life, I make mistakes. And all of a sudden you feel bad and you want to make things right. That's Jesus changing you because you've had a close encounter with him. And Mary experienced that. And she never looks back. She never questions, is this real? Is this guy Jesus right? Am I doing the right thing? She never looks back. Because let's look at, again, the text that we know her background to see where she was. She's on tour with Jesus. She's touring with him. Soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news, what Jesus did about the kingdom of God. He took with him his 12 disciples. We know all that the 12 disciples traveled with him. But did you know other women and other men traveled with him too? She was one of them. She was kind of like a disciple. And then what they did is they supported Jesus and this ministry. They traveled with him. And Jesus said he came here to seek and save those who are lost. It's the same mission of Northside Community Church, to help people find and follow Jesus Christ. It's the same thing. She was on this mission, like we here at Northside are on a mission to help people find Jesus and to follow him. Mary was on this mission with Jesus and his disciples, and she contributed her resources. I don't know where Mary got her money. The Bible doesn't say it. She could have been from a rich family. It's possible that maybe the demons that were in her made her lucrative. Maybe she had some way of making money with these demons that were in her. We don't know. But she spent the rest of her life contributing to this mission. That means she helped feed the poor. She spoke to those who came to hear Jesus preach. She witnessed healings, or maybe she was a part of healings. I don't know. She was on the front line when people had close encounters with Jesus. And she was right there to watch and witness it here. But let's pause. Let's go back. Because she's a woman, right? And you remember, we learned 2 weeks ago that women were not seen as equals during this time in the Bible. So she had seven demons that I'm sure the world knew about living inside her before she met Christ. She's a woman. She has a close encounter with Christ. And now she is with the team. She is on tour, traveling with Jesus to see unbelievable, miraculous things and talk to people about the Son of God. She's on the front lines. If that doesn't prove to you that nothing you have done before counts you out for the amazing purpose life Jesus has for you, I don't know what will. This lady has a past. This lady has so many things she's probably mortified about. What do the demons do to control her? Not godly things, not godly things. And yet she has this encounter, and she doesn't have to go to Bible school for 4 years, or she doesn't have to go in hiding and make sure she's all pure. She immediately goes with Jesus in the front line of his work to do his will. That's awesome. Because we get caught up in those things. We get caught up and say, man, I had an abortion, or two, or three. I'm discounted. I cheated on my spouse. I'm discounted. I've been addicted to pornography or strippers or prostitutes. I'm discounted. I've beaten my kids. I'm discounted. I've stolen lots of money. I'm discounted. I've stolen lots of money from people who are poor and hurting. I've done those things. I've done unthinkable things. I've witnessed things that I should have stopped and I didn't stop them. And we say to ourselves, because I have this, it kind of excludes me from the purpose life God has for me. It kind of puts me on a slower track. It puts me on a less important track. I mean, I can serve in a small place in the kingdom, but I can't serve in any big place. I can serve with limited responsibility, but I can't do anything major. Look at Mary. I mean, really, if anything struck me here is look at Mary. Possessed by seven demons, probably unthinkable past. And all God cares about with her is her current situation and her future. That's all he cares about. That's all he cares about with you. Right now, your current situation and your future. You know, not only did Mary travel with Jesus, she also did these unbelievable things. She was there at the cross when Jesus was crucified. She was right there. She helped prepare Jesus' body for proper burial. It's pretty cool and sad, but cool. And she was at the resurrected. She was one, the first person to see the resurrected Jesus. That means something. All four Gospels, and I want you to stay with me here, and the reason I'm going to drag this out with showing you from all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because I want you to see the truth behind this. I want you to see that God can take a life that has a colorful past, and he can turn it around for something unbelievable that you can't even imagine, okay? So stick with me. She was there at the crucifixion. Matthew tells us, and many women who came from Galilee with Jesus to care for them were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene. She was there. She was at the crucifixion. Even Mark says it. Some women were there watching from a distance, including Mary Magdalene. Mark records it. Luke, you're going to see, Luke doesn't really mention names. It's just his style. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. John says, standing near the cross were Jesus' mother, his mother's sister Mary, and Mary Magdalene. All four gospel writers put Mary at the scene of the crucifixion. Kind of shows you that she was pretty serious about following him, even to his death. Two out of the four gospels say that she helped prepare the body for burial. Mark says, Saturday evening when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Luke, again, not a name dropper, but as his body was taken away, the woman from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. Matthew doesn't talk about the anointing or preparing the body for burial, but he puts her there. Joseph, this is Joseph of Arimathea, took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching. And then John, he doesn't mention any of this part. And then stick with me, because I think this is like the blow your mind, okay? All four Gospels say that, well, she was at the resurrection. Only one says she was the first to see it. But look at these portions from Matthew. I'm going to go through this kind of fast. Early on Sunday morning, you know, the day we celebrate Easter, as a new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, see, there's a lot of Marys, went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. Then the angel spoke to the woman, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was laying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were frightened but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. That's Matthew's account. Here's Mark's account. And after Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman whom he had cast out seven demons. John says this, early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. Then she goes back, tells Peter. Peter comes back to the tomb, looks in there. Oh, he's not there. Goes back, all right? We're going to skip that part. Back down to some portions of John. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stopped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they've taken my away, my Lord," she replied. "I don't know where they have put him." She thought the body was stolen. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. And then our last section, the last gospel, Luke, who does not mention names till the end. But very early on Sunday morning, the woman went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there, puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this, so they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. Now, some of you who kind of can watch stuff like this will notice that there's some differences in these four accounts. And people can get tripped up about this. It's a lot of skeptics will say, there's mistakes in the Bible, and there's contradictions in the Bible, and this doesn't add up. Why did John say Mary was the only one there, and we heard that there was another Mary there? Or did one say there was one angel, and two said there were two angels? And did they go back to tell the disciples or see Jesus first? Because it seems to be some contradictions. And why is only one reference to Mary thinking Jesus is a gardener? I mean, why are there so many differences, right? But remember, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are four primary sources telling the same story, right? So each writer highlights what strikes them. I'm going to give you a modern example. Say the Chicago Bears are playing the Green Bay Packers like they are tonight, right? We're going to have the Sun-Times, we're going to have the Tribune, and we're going to have the Green Bay Gazette all covering the same game. And they're going to come out with the same outcome of who won, and they will write about it. But what they choose to write about it during the story of what plays were great or what really struck them or how something happened is going to be from their perspective of what struck them. What player they thought was fantastic on the field and who did this well and who didn't do this well, that's what they're going to tell the story. It's the same thing with the gospel writers. They are telling you what struck them most about the story. But the significance is here, they all got it right. Jesus Christ is not dead, he's alive, he rose from the grave. That was the main point of all of their talkings of what happened at the resurrection. Jesus is not dead, he's alive, he rose himself from the grave. Now the next point for our purpose that we can look at, because it's interesting, is that Mary Magdalene was a witness to it all. Jesus' ministry, Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus' burial, Jesus' resurrection. Once she had this close encounter with Jesus, she never looked back. She never returned to any part of her prior life. She wasn't even afraid to be at the crucifixion. None of the disciples were there but John. She wasn't afraid to be there. She wasn't thinking this was a fad. She stuck it out, and she didn't even understand that Jesus was going to rise from the grave. And she was there at his death, and she was there at his tomb. And I think it's almost like an honor that was bestowed to her. That she was the first one to see the resurrected Jesus? That she was the first one to be called by name by the resurrected Jesus? How sweet did that sound when Jesus called out her name, Mary? How sweet was that? A life of pure chaos before she met Jesus. And then she is there at the tomb and her Lord calls out her name, Mary? He knew her. You know, maybe that's why the world has such a heyday with Mary Magdalene, right? Why would Jesus take this woman who was once possessed by seven demons and be the very first person to see him after he came back? I mean, is that why skeptics turn this relationship sexual or complicated between the two of them? Would the Son of God really free a woman from bondage, raise her up to be one of his greatest followers and supporters of his mission? Would he do that? Yeah, he would do that. But the world can't see that, and they can't understand that. But that's what he does. He does it all the time. He does that today. He's doing it this second. If we are willing to have that close encounter with him that changes our lives. That's who he is. That's what he does. He's a gracious Savior, redeeming, forgiver, who has awesome plans for the wicked of repented sinners. That's who he is. So Mary Magdalene, she has a close encounter with Jesus, and it changes the course of her life. So I ask you, have you had a close encounter with Jesus? And has it changed the course of your life? How has it changed the course of your life? And even more importantly, how hasn't it changed the course of your life? It's simple. If you allow him to free you from what you have become a slave to and follow him and obey him and never look back, he will have unbelievable things in store for you. Can't witness the resurrection again, but I can't imagine what else he's got planned because he's not done with what he does. Lord, thanks for this morning. I guess I really never realized the depth of Mary and her faithfulness to you. She was so thankful that you freed her, she had no other response than to give her life completely to you. You freed her. And Father, you've given all of us a chance to be free from eternal death because you give us salvation through your name, but you give us a chance to have every day to be freed from something so that we can have the abundant life that you planned for us. So God, whatever it is that we're not willing to change since our encounter with you, I pray that you lay it on each one of our hearts today, God, and that this close encounter that we're having with you, Father, it would change us completely, inside out, 180s, because we know you have amazing things in store for us. And even if you didn't, but I believe you did, even if you didn't have amazing things in store for us, we do it just because you are God. And you deserve to be worshiped and obeyed. It's in your name we pray. Amen.